I'm not the vice president. I'm not doing speaking tours on politics and religion. I didn't go to Yale Law School, and I definitely haven't palled around with a tech billionaire. However, I did go to Sunday school every week growing up. I have read the Bible, and as a result, I know a false prophet when I see one. Don't be distracted by the J.D. Vance, Erica Kirk hug. Instead, pay attention to Vance's words. They should scream out to any Christian that he's a false prophet, and he will say whatever to whoever he wants to con. At a recent Turning Point USA event, Vice President J.D. Vance answered questions about his Christian faith. This is a statement that he made at the event.
I make no apologies for believing that Christianity is the pathway to God. I make no apologies for thinking that Christian values are an important foundation of this country, but I'm not going to force you to believe in anything because that's not what God wants and that's not what I want either.
Did you hear that? I make no apologies for believing that Christianity is the pathway to God. Of course, everyone in the audience cheered. Christian conservatives praised him online. Everyone who already saluted MAGA and the Trump administration doubled down on their Christian nationalist agenda. But just because the Christian crowd cheered doesn't mean they should have. And it definitely doesn't mean that they have any idea of what they cheered for. Just because some man says he's a Christian doesn't mean we should believe it. In fact, God warns us in the Bible to beware of false prophets. The Bible talks about how prevalent they are, saying that many false prophets have gone out into the world, that they will deceive many, and that they will even deceive the very elect. The Bible also defines what a false prophet is. It states that Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, his ministers will also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. The Bible warns that there are false prophets among the people and false teachers among us, and that they shall bring in damnable heresies. It notes that false prophets will come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. These false prophets also speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. But let's not forget, people must receive these false prophets for them to have any sort of success or any sort of platform. The Bible warns that people will go after their own lusts, and they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. People like J.D. Vance find a crowd they need to use, a coalition of people who chase their desires. His ears itch, and he says what he needs to get their acceptance, their adulation, their idolization, and their obedience. J.D. Vance himself called Trump Hitler in 2016. Now he's Trump's vice president. He's changed his religion multiple times before landing on being a Christian Catholic. As a Christian, he married someone who wasn't a Christian, completely ignoring the biblical command to not be unequally yoked. As the executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts once said, quote, Vance has no principles, at least none that aren't for sale, and the asking price is cheap. I couldn't have said it better myself. Vance will acquiesce to whatever he needs to. He'll change on abortion, Trump, the election. His ears are itching for a crowd that will exalt him. So why do I think that phrase at the Turning Point USA event was so telling? Well, because it's not true. He said, I make no apologies for believing that Christianity is the pathway to God. But there is no pathway to God. It's not a journey to God. Take, for example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have the gift of eternal life. Being a Christian means accepting salvation, a free gift that God wants all of us to have and ask for nothing in return. It's the gift of everlasting life, and all you have to do is believe. You have to call on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the path after you're saved doesn't exist either. You walk with God, not to him. Big difference. You're not being led to God like he's laying breadcrumbs and you have to find him somewhere. There's no yellow brick road you have to walk. You don't have to follow some path perfectly with certain actions or deeds to find God. Let's take a look at Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is with you. You aren't finding your way to God. He's where he's always been. All you have to do is ask for him. He's standing at the door knocking to come in. Open the door. You won't find a path. You'll find a walk in the Spirit, as noted in Galatians 5:16. Think I'm splitting hairs? This isn't a one-off for Vance. You won't find him talking about the salvation message, about what it means to be Christian, about how rejecting Christ is a matter of spending eternity in heaven or hell. He always references Christianity in regards to its values, its history, its influence, its sense of producing an ordered society, which are true, sure, but that's not the core of Christianity. Listen to what he says before his pathway comment.
Christian values are the idea that you should respect every single person as an individual, whatever the color of their skin, created in the image of God. That's a Christian concept. And in fact, it was a Christian empire, Great Britain, that abolished slavery to begin with. The idea that we should eliminate child sacrifice. What did the Christian settlers find when they came to the New World? They found a lot of civilizations that were murdering babies in weird religious rituals. It was Christianity that said, we don't kill children just because they're somehow inconvenient to people. A lot of the things, human rights, the very idea that human beings have rights are a Christian concept. And so I'd ask you, my assumption based on the question is that you're skeptical of Christianity, or at least of certain public professions of Christianity.
Later on, he talks about his wife and how he hopes she converts to Christianity. But if she doesn't, Vance goes on to say, quote, everybody has free will, so that doesn't cause a problem with me. Doesn't cause a problem. He's not concerned with his wife not being a Christian, not concerned that as an unbeliever, she'll go to hell when she dies instead of heaven. That's a weird thing to say that you're not concerned about, unless you don't believe in Christianity the way the Bible spells it out. You won't be concerned if Christianity is more of a path to finding God and something to talk about, and a series of actions like attending church or praying. You won't be concerned if the salvation message doesn't have any meaning to you, if it's more lore and not truth. When asked about Trump's comments about pursuing Middle East peace as a way to get into heaven, Vance showcased his version of Christianity.
Heaven. He's thinking about getting into heaven. And the peace deal could get, wants to get into heaven. I have never heard him, and I've known him for 30 years, longer than anyone in this room. I've never heard him talking about getting into heaven. What do we make of that?
It's very interesting. I've never heard him talk that way either. I actually got a message just before I went on from the priest who had baptized me, actually. And he said, and he was a younger guy, very smart guy. He's like, I really admired what the president said. And he said, basically, you know, if he's able to make peace in Russia and Ukraine, I'll put in a word with a big guy.
Is that what he thinks it means to get to heaven? Getting an earthly holy man to put in a word with a big guy? Wouldn't you as a Christian want to clarify what it means to get to heaven? As vice president, he has a platform that will cause people to hear him, listen to the words that he says. As a Christian, you wouldn't want to uphold a false notion about salvation. Vance is comfortable throwing his wife under the bus for not converting, but can't find it in himself to correct the record and say, hey, I want you to know how you actually get to heaven. And let's remember, the Bible tells us what happens if you lead anyone astray. And let's not forget when Vance told Kamala Harris to go to hell. As a Christian, that's a blasphemous thing to say. Why would you want anyone to go to hell? He never said, oh, wow, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I let my temper get the best of me. No, he doubled down and said he wasn't sorry, calling it just a colloquialism. Sure, it is to secular people, but to Christians, going to hell is a very real thing, unless you're not a Christian and hell doesn't exist. His message to those that found his comments jarring was, oh, don't do this fake outrage thing. Well, yes, sir, I will be outraged when you're sending people to hell and saying that you're a Christian. And while everyone thinks of J.D. Vance as this beacon of Christianity and defender of the faith, he doesn't have the courage of his own convictions. He bends the Bible to what he can rationalize at best, and at worst, what will help him blend into society. Listen to this excerpt of Vance from his book, Hillbilly Elegy, where he chooses modern science over the biblical view of creation. He said, quote, that creates a stark choice in a lot of people. You can believe in certain parts of modern science, or you can be a good Christian, but you can't do both. It creates isolating pressure from the faith. I eventually got to the point where I was like, well, if I can't believe in the Big Bang Theory and be a good Christian, then maybe I'm not a good Christian. Catholicism and Mormonism are very intense about the moral rules they want their followers to follow, but they're also engaged not just with modern science, but with the modern world. Now, sure, believing in the Big Bang Theory doesn't mean you're going to hell. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian. But you got to ask yourself, why does J.D. Vance not believe a big part of the Bible, the part that tells us how we got here, the part that tells us how sin entered the world? Just because someone like Vance talks about God a lot doesn't mean they're necessarily a believer. God told us this in Matthew 7:21. Quote, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Vance was raised an evangelical Christian, became Pentecostal as a teenager, an atheist in college, and then a Christian Catholic in law school. No one knows for sure whether Vance is a Christian, only God does. but he sure is acting like a false prophet, spreading false impressions about what salvation, Jesus, and Christianity actually is. God is still standing at his door and knocking, and Vance should open it. Don't be fooled by a false prophet like Vance. There is no pathway to God. There's one way to God. As it says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's 100 other verses that tell us this. There was even a book made about this that outlines these 100 verses. The author divides these verses into 9 categories, and it makes the clear case that there is only one way to God and not a path. John 8:24 tells us that Jesus is the one who provides forgiveness from sin. Acts 4:11 tells us that Jesus is the only source of salvation for the world. 1 John 4:2 says that rejection of Jesus is rejection of the Father. Matthew 7:13 says that many imposters will claim to provide others ways of salvation. Galatians 2:21 says there are no other alternatives for salvation. 1 John 3:23 tells us that Jesus is the Father's choice. John 5:22 tells us that Jesus will be man's judge on the final day. Matthew 28:18 says that all nations are to be given this gospel. And 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says that rejection of Jesus brings judgment and wrath. Vance may come to us reflecting some image of Christianity, something we've dreamed up in our heads of what a good Christian looks like. But don't be deceived. As it says in Matthew 7:15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now it's time as Christians to wake up and heed the advice Jesus gave us in Matthew 24:4. Take heed that no man deceive you. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.